All right. Good morning, anyone, everyone. So my talk is going to be slightly different from what you've heard at the beginning of the session. But basically, this is some work we've been doing at the University of Guelph. It's a collaboration between two departments, the Department of Food, Agriculture, and Resource Economics with Tor and Alan Kerr, who really did all the heavy data analysis, and Kent Janovicic, Ralph Martin, and Bill Dean, and myself from the Department of Plant Agriculture. And basically what we've been looking at is exploring this concept of our corn yield increasingly limited by rainfall. So I will try to walk you through the concept and then show you some beginning of results that we've had lately. So basically I'm going to explain to you the concept that we are working on and some results we've had on corn. But first I wanted to introduce you to maize yield trends in Ontario. So Ontario is actually this rather large province in Eastern Canada, and we share a little bit of the corn belt with the Midwest, and this is what I've highlighted here in red. What have been our yield trends since 1950? Well, here I used a box plot because I wanted to see that we have quite a bit of variability, even though we've had increasing yields over the last 64 years, and this is representative of 32 different counties. So basically, out of these graphs, what can we see? We had a steady technological yield gain, about 86 kilograms per hectare per year, but also an increase in variability, especially since the 70s. That can come from both a larger production area, but also some additional weather constraints. So what we've proposed in our work was really to look at the drivers and limitation of those historical trends to try to gain a better understanding of what could happen in the future. And how can we help maintain those increasing yield trends in the future? Maintaining yield potential, better understanding the response to environment, but also target those management practices which have been really instrumental in maintaining this increasing yield trend, at least in Ontario. And it's going to be increasingly important to better predict the impact of impending climate change on future yields. So we took this big undertaking, and what have been the past, the main driver of past technology yield gains in corn? Well, first, there has been, and this is pretty well documented, a shift in those processes regulating the source and sink relationship in corn. So with a larger biomass accumulation rate, higher resource partitioning to the grain, but also higher radiation use efficiency due to longer stay grain in the season and more erected leaves. At the population scale, breeders have been very successful in improving the synchrony of reproductive organs, for instance, reducing burners, lodging, and improving tolerance to various stresses. And from a management perspective, well, since the 1950s, we really see higher input levels, which are way more targeted, better recommendation, overall, increasing plant density, and also earlier planting of longer season hybrids. So when we look at this, well, we had basically some conclusions that all those main drivers of increasing yields in the 50s have led to a healthier canopy, an earlier onset of a really much larger green leaf area, greater green leaf area duration, and very higher effective biomass per plant, but also per unit area. And so we draw this hypothesis that, well, maybe maize water demand has also increased to sustain this larger biomass over a longer time period. And I say this because there is an obligatory link between CO2 assimilation rate and transpiration rate. When the stomata opens, CO2 comes in to increase this biomass accumulation, but water also comes out, and this is as a function of vapor pressure deficits. And Tom Sinclair and his colleague have described this relationship for a long time with if you increase maize yield, you have an increase in transpirational water. So probably the increase in yields we've seen in Ontario and across the Midwest have been tightly linked with an increase in transpiration losses. But we haven't seen any significant changes in weather pattern. This is temperature growing degree days since the 1950s. This is hot degree days, accumulated precipitation, standard deviation, and we cannot really see any major trend in weather patterns. So basically, we've increased yield with the same amount of precipitation. So how has this relationship evolved between precipitation and yield, and did this increase in grain yield and biomass, as well as removal of non-water constraints to crop production, increase male yield responsiveness to precipitation? And so we got this big data set, and we look at the response to low and high precipitation since the 50s in Ontario. And we use a statistical model, multivariate adapted regression splines, where we look at yield as a function of precipitation, growing degree days, hot degree days, vapor pressure deficit, and the interaction between those different variables. We used both linear and quadratic effect. You know that precipitation can have a quadratic effect on yield, where too little or too much are actually damaging. We corrected for county fixed effect by each county having its own intercept in the regression, and we also corrected for increasing yield trends, so everything is detrended for this increase in yield over time. And then we applied a piecewise linear spline with knots at different years so that we can actually examine the change in sensitivity and responsiveness of over time. In corn. And we've done this analysis over two critical growth periods, and this is really open for feedback, but we used vegetative growth from May 1st to June 31st, and then we looked at it during grain filling, so which are the two major periods which have very high water demand for transpiration. So I will just show you some quick results. So out of clarity, I didn't plot every year. So I plotted 1950, 1980, and 2010. And the shaded area are basically the 95 confidence interval. And this is the delta yield. So this is the change basically in yield sensitivity over time if you compare 1950 to 2010, for instance. And this is the precipitation level during vegetative growth. So basically, no major differences. No alteration in maize response to precipitation at early growth stages. However, when we look in the summer precipitation, you see that if we take 2010, yields are actually much more sensitive to low precipitation compared to yields in the 1950s and up to the 1980s. And what's interesting as well is that we are corn plants are maximizing much better high precipitations as well. So basically, yield appear to be increasingly sensitive to summer rainfall over time. What's interesting about this model is that it really captures the persistence of this early growing season precipitation into the summer months as well. So what we're really seeing is those precipitation during flowering and grain filling. And there is we also looked at the relationship between extreme heat and vapor pressure deficit and precipitation. This is the same kind of graph looking at vapor pressure deficit, and we don't have such a clear pattern than with precipitation, but basically we see that at high vapor pressure deficit, which represent droughty conditions, yield in 2010 and later are actually more sensitive, with a delta yield of around 9 bushel per acre compared to yield in 1950, which were pretty much not responsive to high vapor deficits at the time. Again, it seems that corn plants are able to better capitalize low vapor pressure deficit into yield. And this is very important because high vapor pressure deficit increase crop demand for soil water to sustain this carbon assimilation, and also reduce subsequent soil water supply. So we're exploring a little bit more of this hypothesis. We're doing the same analysis with soybean, and we are expanding into Iowa as well to see if this relationship holds as well. And what are the implications of this of this work? Well, I think they are very far-reaching. First of all, we're going to need to maintain increasing yield trends, or by breeding, or by GM technology. If we want to maintain this rate of 19 kilogram per hectare and hit the 300 bushel with the same precipitation levels, it's going to be much more difficult. And breeding for high water productivity is probably going to be a very important trait to breed for. Second, we have this high variation that we're going to have to decrease as well, and this is especially important in a changing production environment, and this has come from the IPCC report, where you see that annually we're not going to have much change in precipitation, but it's more going to be into conserving the water, increasing rainfall level from winter months into summer months, which are going to become drier. So change in seasonal rainfall pattern could eventually exacerbate the sensitivity to impending weather variations. And finally, this relationship between grain yield and water use is a great function of soil management and residue. And here I just want to show you the trend in crop diversity in the Midwest. In Ontario, Michigan, Iowa, Minnesota, in white is corn and soybean, and in color is any other crop. And you can see a very clear trend toward corn and soybean in our cropping systems, and all those small grain cereals are eroding little by little from our systems. And we have a long-term trial at the University of Guelph where we've been looking at various rotation complexity, where we have just corn on soybean or more crops into the rotation and different tillage intensity. And what came out looking back at 30 years, and this is in press if you want to know further about it, but basically rotation diversity is very important to help mitigate weather variations. And if you just focus on this hot and dry season here in red, you see that rotation, in fact, as a percentage of the corn soybean cluster, is actually higher in hot and dry seasons. Rotations bring an additional advantage when conditions are very hot and dry, both under reduced tillage and till condition. So what are the take-home message? Well, maize yield are increasingly sensitive to rainfall. I think we can be confident in saying that, and we're exploring it a little further. What's interesting, too, is that the current model, when we have all this modeling about the future impact of climate on yield, actually assume that crop yield response to weather variables has not changed over time. And this is not something which is included in the current models. But I think we show here that yields are increasingly sensitive to differences in rainfall patterns. So it's going to be more and more important to maintain inherent soil capacity to capture and conserve water, especially those organic matter content. I think that asks some question about management practices, what is going to be the residue and sustainable residue and biomass removal rates, so that we can help maintain this organic matter, which is going to be increasingly important in our systems. And what are the implications of this for other management decisions, especially in terms of nitrogen demand and nitrogen losses from our systems? So with that, I'll be happy to take some questions, and I thank you for your attention.
Sorry about the difficulties of the technical difficulty. I think we have time for one question.
Shall we?
You said do you mean that current crop models cannot catch this effect?
I'm saying the current crop climate change models are under the assumption that the variation in weather effect on yield has been maintained. And a lower level of rainfall is actually more damaging to yields nowadays than it was in the 50s. So when we look at historical records to inform the future, I think that should be maybe some tweaks in the model that we should take into account.
Because I know of one exercise on wheat in Europe, because there was a plateau in the yields in Europe, especially in France, mm-hmm. and it was fairly well simulated by a crop model. And I think the question, I mean, that's a continuity as principle, which you are questioning. But so far, there is no real evidence that crop models are not able to incorporate the impact of water deficits in the yield. And the only problem is that they don't know how CO2 concentration will change the things, because they are rare experiments. But in terms of rice production, I think most of crop models will have the water deficit function. They want to catch the viability in water and in precipitation.
I'm just talking about a historical perspective. When we look back to since the 1950s to inform the future.
You didn't use any crop models?
No. No, it's just yields and weather variables, historical data. So there's no modeling really involved apart from our revision.
In your summary, you said that there was no yield response to weather or something like this. And in the beginning, you said that the weather hadn't really changed.
We don't see that.
And you saw an increase in yield.
Yes.
Yes.
So we have increased yields, but precipitation are similar. So our hypothesis was that it's increasingly sensitive.
So yeah, the higher you climb, the deeper you can.
Yeah.
Yes. For me, the key point is that newer hybrids had a higher demand for water because they had increased biomass production. So with a similar weather, interannual variability of precipitation have a higher impact on new hybrid and on old hybrids. But the question is water demand.
It's a bit
now, a new hybrid has a high water demand. Sensitivity to water stress is probably similar. But if the hybrid had a higher water demand, the impact on interannual variability was higher in newer hybrids than in older hybrids.
And probably newer hybrids are more drought tolerant.
Probably.
Than older hybrids, but it doesn't mean they are more or less sensitive to this difference.
Well, let's give Emily a hand. We will leave the discussion.